All right, so in this week, I had the privilege of sharing at the Mosaic group. Who was there? One, two, great, not too many. So it was it was really something that the Lord has set me up with, just filling in a lot of ways, you know, what God is just doing in my heart again. But one thing that I've seen over time, when I get it right, because it takes effort to do that, is when you receive something from God, to write it down. Okay, so if you've got a journal, you know, when you keep your journal as you're doing your quiet times, or something that God has just dropped in your spirit while you're driving, anyway, those things is really crucial, not for the fact that, you know, God speaks, but for you to you can go back and you can see the faithfulness of God through that and through time, when you write down the things that God has spoken into your life. Okay, so this last while, you know, God has really just been reminding Deval from all angles what He has spoken over me. And it was at the Pastor Summit where one of my, Andre, he's the pastor there in East London. He asked me just to share a 5-minute testimony regarding accountability. And it was such a blessing for me to speak, not for their sake, more for my sake, because as I was going through the things that accountability did in my life, and that's not just the negative stuff, okay? So I've spoken about that enough, but the positive things of what God has said to me. And what I found, and especially there, it was quite funny, some of the ladies came to Danelle afterwards. She wasn't there when I shared it on the Friday, or somewhere earlier in the week, and she only got there on the Saturday when we had our couple session. And then some of the ladies came to her and say, you know, was it difficult for Deval to share about his, now my bad background, you know, my sinful background? And she's like, no, because I went to her and I said, you know what the most difficult thing was for me? Was to share in accountability the things that God has spoken over my life. I was feeling more vulnerable speaking those things than I do, you know, speaking my issues and my negative things. And I was like, God, here I am. It's kind of like you're burning bridges in a way. Because if God has spoken something over your life, and you have not verbally committed it to somebody else and being walking in accountability towards people around you, then it's still you and God. And if you miss it, it's all right. But if God has said, listen, Deval, this is who you are, then you need to start to walk in that way of what God has spoken over your life. So what is it the thing? What are the things that God has spoken over your life? And what are the things that you are working towards? And we'll speak a little bit about that tonight. Tonight I'm gonna fill in some things for you guys that you necessarily don't know about Shofar and Shofar Malmesbury in general, specifically Malmesbury. So the first thing is in Habakkuk 2, just writing the vision down. It says there, Habakkuk 2 verse 2, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Yo, that is, he who can see that, let him run with it. It's a bit small. I'll make it bigger for next time. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. So the Lord tells Habakkuk, listen, write the vision out, make it plain, so that he who reads it may run with it. Okay, then that is where, tonight I want to ask you one question. Who of you can tell me what the vision of Shofar is? Okay, you don't have to tell me, don't worry. I won't put you on the spot. So tell the person next to you what is the vision of Shofar. Okay? If you don't know, it's fine. Don't worry. It's not a trick question. It's there on that board there, but it's in Afrikaans. So the reason I'm saying is what the Lord has just started to unpack again is many times we want to get somewhere. We want to be like the story that this guy shared with us. We are all on a bus going to Johannesburg. Because you like Johannesburg. Okay, no, that's a bad city to choose. But we are in Cape Town, so what am I going to do now? Okay, let's go somewhere else. I don't know. Let's go to London. You want to go to London? It's far. The same thing with a vision. A vision is where you are heading. Where are you going? We're going to London. And the fact is, and I'm asking you just regarding Shofar's vision, and it's fine if you don't know it. It's okay. That's why I'm telling it to you now. It's reaching nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. That is what we do. That is who we are. As a Shofar movement, you know, with some nuances here, this congregation locally does it a little bit differently, that congregation. But generally, when you go to a Shofar church in South Africa, you will have that same thrust coming through. There will be genuine worship of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be there. And there will be disciples and leaders raised up in that place. Because that's what we do. But that's easy, you know. That's kind of like the easy way of it. Just for you, those of you who think, okay, this people are, they're nuts. Mostly, any church worth their salt would get some sort of their vision statement from this part in Matthew 28. And I'll just read it to you guys. This is where ours comes from. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So that is what we've taken. And from that, this is what we're going to do. Now, when you do some kingdom work with people, many times, and I've seen it, I've been around, I've been in ministry for a while, many times people come to a place like this and they love it. It's very nice. But they don't like to raise disciples. They don't like to develop leaders. Then I'm asking, okay, but that's what we do in this place. So when you come and be part of this, then know that our London is that. The place that we are going is we will make disciples and we will raise leaders and we will plant churches, because that is what we are geared to do. And it comes here from Matthew 28. So that is broadly the easy part, and most of us know it. And where it started to get to me the last while is that is the one part, going somewhere. But between now and getting there, there's a lot of space. There's a lot of stuff that happens. Who of you have been on an airplane? Like far, don't worry. Or on a bus. Okay, let's do bus. A bus is better because it takes a lot longer. I've driven from here to that wonderful Johannesburg place. You know what? It takes a whole day sitting on a bus. Our domestic worker, she's gone back to Malawi now. It took her 3 days to get to Malawi from here. And they do not stop to sleep over like some comfortable people like us. That bus just goes and goes, man. And I'm like, Jesus, if we want to sort out some issues, I think we should put all of us on a bus and go to Malawi for 3 days.
all of a sudden, that little thing, which is like yay big, becomes this big. Like me. It's okay for the first while to listen to somebody sniffing. Do that for 3 days. You will want to kill that person. And you are all holy and Jesus-like. So this is what got to me, is we know what we want to do, but the gap inside of that, how we do that, I have failed with some of them, not with all of them. I failed with some of them to transfer that unto you guys. And that's what I'm speaking about tonight. So I want to focus on that. And it's really great. The how is defined in your core values. And this you can do for your family. Do core values for your family. We've done that in our house. Maar net gaan jy vir die mense kan sê wat is ons reels in ons huis? Wil jy nie vir hulle sê nie? Al 60. No. So in our house we sat down and we said, listen, these are the 5 core values of our house. You will listen to mommy and papi. That is a good one. We will be generous. We will forgive one another. We will look after our things in our house. And then I can't remember the 5th one. For now. But at least we've got this. And you know what? Even my kids, whom are 8, 6, and 4 now, they get this. When they do something that is not in line with how we do it, then we say, hey, you've been rude to your brother now. Say you're sorry. And in the beginning, it is just do this now. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive me, please. Now say to him, it's okay. It's okay. That is literally how it goes for the first while. You know what the great thing is? The night before last. So my little one, 4 years old, he's on my back and he jumps. And you know, sometimes you just get this urge to do something. As a man or as a kid or as a boy especially. And he gets this urge to headbutt me. It was just like, bah! At the back of my head. And he knocks me and I'm like, Ena! And then I take him off and I put him down on the ground. And then I see he's really soft, you know, and when I put him down, he goes to his room. And because I'm just like, hey, don't do that. You know, and I put him down. And it was sore. And I was like, yeah. And then I went to him. And I said, it's okay. You know, it's fine. That is not cross. It was just sore. And then that night, when I put him to bed, then it just clicks. And I'm not in that space at all. I just want to put him to bed like I do always. And as I'm putting him to bed, he looks at me and says, Daddy, I'm sorry I hit you with the head. I say, it's okay. And he says, please forgive me. And my heart breaks. And I'm like, you are forgiven, my son. That is what core values does. It brings you into a place on how we do things in our either family, church. There's a reason for it. So, the first one, coming back to us here as Shofar Malmesbury and, you know, Shofar in general. There's 6 core values that we've got. You can go and find it on the website. And I think some of it is written up here. You can get a brochure or whatever. But Shofar has started in 1992, for those of you who don't know, through Fred and Lucille May. And what makes that even better, for those of you who don't know, is he is a colored but he looks black guy. And she is a white Afrikaner lady that got married in apartheid. And then in apartheid, God says, I want you to go to Stellenbosch. I want you to go and pray there. in 1992. And they went there to pray. They didn't go there to plant a church. And as they started to pray, they prayed, and we are still praying. God has birthed a church through prayer. And in that first time, it was just, you know, all of the druggies and the people were just coming and getting delivered and getting healed and getting saved. And that's how the church started, through prayer. And from there, and I told the ladies at the Mosaic group, because one of the questions that they asked me, why Shofar? Why the name? Who chose that? And it was so cool, because Pastor Fred, he told us that he was kind of summoned when this started to grow a little bit to some place where all the big brass were sitting. And they asked him, but what is your church's name? Well, he didn't think about that. And he just said, Shofar. But anyway, this is a shofar, for those of you who don't know, a ram's horn. So the English name for this is shofar. And for the first, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years of shofar's existence, we had the name spelled wrong. They spelled it because they didn't know how to, S-H-O-P-H-A-R. So we were in Stellenbosch, the Shoprite Church. Shopar. The Shoprite Church. And then later on, when we got things right, so then we got the spelling right, so now it's Shofar with an F. But that's how it happened. And that's how we got to... And from there, God has just, you know, He's bestowed a lot of things on us as a church movement, but especially for us as Malmesbury, and that is just what blessed me so much the last while. You know what I'm really confident of this church? Is that anybody that has been hurt in church or offended, they will get healed there, here, among the people. And I'm really, really confident of that. Knowing that anybody can come here and they will be loved back to a place where they can connect with people and with God. It's just something that God has bestowed on us as Malmesbury. So this is family. It's not always nice and cushy, but family. And it's wonderful to see that. So that flows from a place in the first core value of Shofar in general. But us as Malmesbury, which we do get right, is we have got a passion for Jesus. That is the first core value of Shofar. We have got a passion for Christ. So if you are part of this family, then that is what you will ultimately get and have, is a passion for Christ. It says in John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. A passion for Jesus. And this is great, because I know that even if people get to a place where they are really offended and hurt in this church or in other Shofar churches, and I've seen this, then they leave because of a lot of stuff, but they do not stop following Christ. They still follow Christ with their whole heart. And that is amazing. That is what we are. We get it right to connect people, not to, you know, in some circles, and it's weird, you know, in some other ministries, the people in the church, and especially the leaders, upcoming leaders, they will start to look like the main leader. If the leader has got the bookie, what do you call that in English? I don't know. A goatee? Yes. Then they grow a goatee. If the leader does this, you get people that are much more transformed into a person than into Christ. And yes, there are some things that get through, you know, passed down, imparted. That's fine. But here with us, you don't really get that. People follow Christ, not people. Second core value that we do, and which we get right as well, is we have got people to serve. You will always have people to serve. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and he called the 12 to them, and he said to them, if anyone would be first,
He must be last of all and servant of all.
So if you're part of the how we do things in this family, is we serve. You know how many times people come to me and say, "Well, how do you get it right to mobilize so many people?" I don't know. We just serve, man. That's what we do. Wherever there's a need, not everywhere, but there where God calls us, there we serve. And everybody knows, you know, and that's what I tell them when we have our beginning that, I forget the name, what we call it, anyway, Activate Sunday, to get people to serve. You will at least serve in one ministry in this church, and you will serve maximum two ministries in this church. Because we serve. That is what we do as a family. And there's a lot of people out there that needs the love of Christ and it be served to them. And then the third one is that we've got a purpose to pursue. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This morning was great. We had all of the new members coming and saying that we want to be part of this church here this morning. And then we know that everybody that comes to this church, as they're coming here bearing gifts, and we receive them with all of their gifts. But then we also know that this body is a gift to them. And you will be blessed by that in this family that we've got. And together, we have got a purpose to pursue, and we will help you to pursue the purpose that God has given you. So that's again, write down the stuff that God spoke over your life. What is the passion that is in your life? What are the things that really makes you tick? And we'll speak about that later on in this year. There's just half a year left. But we will. Because one of the things of this purpose to pursue, many people don't know what their purpose is. And we'll speak about that. You know what's a great place to start? Ask the people around you what they see in you. Ask them. What do you see in me? Well, I see this, and I see this, and I see this, and I see this. God has gifted you. He's bestowed on you. You know, He has created you. We are His workmanship in Christ for good works, which God has prepared beforehand. He has bestowed on you some redemptive gifts that's already there for His purposes in your life. Sometimes we're going to get all spiritual about this and not ask people what they see in us. And it helps sometimes just to go and sit down and say, "Hey, what is it that you guys see in me?" So if you come to me, now I'm stuck. If you come to me and you say, "Deval, I want to become a fireman. That is what I want to do." But when I look at you, you are never around fire engines. Never. You're never around fires. Then I look at you and say, "Hey, okay, great. That's wonderful. But this is what I see. I see that you want to become a fireman." That's what you say to me. But you know what I see with my eyes? You are more around policemen and bad guys than you are around fires. Maybe, just maybe, the purpose that you are pursuing is not the one for you. Go and pray about that. It's already in us. Mostly the things that God wants us to do is a passion of ours. I don't do this because I have to. I do this because I love it. I really do. Sometimes I get tired, and sometimes I'm a little bit tired of people as well. But then I go on holiday, and I recharge with Jesus. And then I come back, and I'm psyched up again. Because I love to do what I do. I love to build a community. And I don't have to tell you that. You guys can see that in me. It's what I do. Naturally. And God comes and He blesses it supernaturally. And that's amazing. That's a wonderful place to be. You know, the weirdest place that you can be is if you don't feel that you've got purpose. What am I doing here? What am I here for? And I don't want any of us to have those types of questions. So if you're part of this family, we will help you to find the purpose that God has created you for. And it will always be around people, man. God is about people. Lost souls needing to be saved. And you need to find your place and how you're going to do that. Not rocket science. But find the place where your passion is really stirred. And just one last thing is, your purpose will always give you energy, for lack of a better word. It will stir you up. It will build you up. When you're doing what you love to do, you get out there not tired. You'll be physically tired, but spiritually and emotionally, you will be on cloud nine. Not always, but at least most of the time, when you do that, you feel hallelujah. That's why you get people that work a mundane job, 9 to 5, 8 to 5, or whatever. Some of us get up at 6. They don't like it at all. And they come and they pour themselves into church because that is what they love to do. And then people look at me and say, how can you do that? Hoe kan jy mense so uitbuit? How can you do what? What's that in English? How can you take advantage of people like that? I'm saying, listen, I'd rather have them do that and be fulfilled than not have them do that and have them think they've got no purpose in this life. Fourth one. And this one I love. It's a new one that we just got added to our core values. Places to embrace. Jeremiah 29:7 says, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. That is amazing. You know what? Some of us, we are so looking forward to the things that God are going to do through us that we forget that we are somewhere now. God has placed you in a vicinity of people now. It's not a stepping stone to get somewhere. It's a place where God has put you so that you can embrace that place and that people. That is part of who we are. Where God has sent you, where He's planted you in your job, this is where you get edified. The ministry happens out there, where you go to your place where God has sent you. That place where you embrace, that is what God has given us to do. God is starting to make me embrace a little bit bigger. It was only Malmesbury, now I was getting the Swartland. And I'm embracing, man. This is my place. I love it here. And I'll stay here until God moves me or I die. Not too soon, hopefully. Where's your place that you must embrace? Is it your res? Is it your workplace? That's what we do. As Shofar, we embrace the places that God sends us to because we love the people. And then another one, there will be provision for the need. In Philippians 4 verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When God sends us, and when He says, listen, go and do, He will provide the means to do it. One thing that I've learned a long time ago is that for our needs, God has already prepared the means by which to do what He wants us to do. We must just look for them. And mostly it's in the house. Here, amongst us, God has given everything that is needed. And then last one tonight, and then I'll be done with you guys. The last one is power of belief. And it's all the peace. You know, we like alliteration in this place. But it's cool. Romans 4, 20, 21 says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. The power of belief. What are the things that God has said to you? What is your power of conviction? What is that thing that you are standing on and saying, this is what God has said? Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. That is something that needs to be in the forefront when we operate. Sometimes we get a little bit hazy around things. That's why it's good to write down what God says when the emotions are not part of it. Because in an emotional situation where stuff are going, it's going wrong, everything is going pear-shaped, then it's a little bit more difficult to be fully convinced of what God has said. But if you can go back and you write down and say, God, this is you here. I wasn't confused here. This is what you said. And this is how it happened. God, I'm still standing on this. I've got a conviction. And that is what we are as Shofar. This is the way we do things. Yes, we're going to London. But these are the things that we hold dear to our hearts. So in some measure or another, when you are part of this bus, then you will have these things ingrained into you over time. Because this is who we are. This is what we do. And this is how we do it. And what makes it great is that when you see that happening in you, moments like this come, like I had practically in my house. Then I look, and then after saying a lot of things, then some other leader or some other person in church stands up and starts to do something. And I'm like, I'm just Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting it. Somebody's running with what you've given them. And that makes my little pastor's heart bounce. Whenever somebody is starting to move with what God has given them to move with. And I want that for all of us. So that when we move together. We've got a purpose to pursue individually and corporately. In that place, we see God's hand as we move. So as the alarm comes up, I want us to pray together tonight. And I want you to ask the Lord. You can just turn two or three together towards one another. I'm not going to make an altar call for you to come to the front. But I want you to speak about two things. Speak to the person sitting around you on your passion for Jesus. How's that looking? Maybe, I don't know. Yes! Your passion for Christ. Is it up there? Or are you a little bit backslidden? Maybe it's time to say, God, please forgive me. My heart is a little bit cold. My passion for you have dwindled a bit. Please restore it, and Jesus will. And then, just another one. People to serve. Where are you serving? Do you have a place to serve, to give? Not all of us can stand up here and be in the worship team. Hallelujah for that. Because some of us will drive people away. We can do other things. Do what God has called you to do. Run into that place and serve. And those are the two things that I want you to speak about. I'm not going to do all six. Just take those two. Passion for Christ and people to serve.